Today is Quinquagesima Sunday. Now, the epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy, and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away, whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. At that time, Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them. And they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished, which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, as you may know, during the Industrial Revolution, the poor of the great cities lived wretchedly. Their days were bleak and dreary, and those who did have jobs worked long hours and came home to tiny, dark, dirty apartments, where they were sometimes crammed together like sardines. In short, it was a hard life. Well, it was in a tiny room like this, in a narrow street of a great city, that there lived a little boy. This boy was 6 years old. He was a cripple. Since he could only walk with great difficulty, he sat in his chair by the window all day, looking with sad eyes down into the narrow street. In the early morning, he could watch men and women hurrying to their work. A little later, the children came out and played in the street. Sometimes these children were cheerful, and played nicely together. Often, however, they argued and fought in the street. In the evening, the boy would watch the men and women trudging home. He would look eagerly for his mother. When he saw her, he would wave to her, and only then would he smile. One night, the crippled boy said, "I wish I could help you, mother. You work so hard, and I can't do anything to help you." "But you do help me," she exclaimed. "It helps me to see you smiling down at me from the window." Continuing, she said, "It helps me when you wave to me. It makes my work easier all day to think that you will be here waving to me when I get home." "Then I'll wave harder," he promised. The very next night, when the mother returned her son's wave, a tired workman saw her and glanced up at the window. He saw the small boy's thin little face at the window. Such a cheery smile, the man thought, as he laughed to himself and waved his own hat to the boy. Shyly, the cripple waved back to the man. The next evening, the workman pointed out the boy to his companion. Again, the boy smiled brightly as two hats waved in the street below. Soon, everyone in the neighborhood knew about the smiling boy in the window. They recognized the joy that his greeting could bring, and so men and women began going out of their way to wave to him. Even the children stopped their fighting when they saw him watching them, and instead they would play games to amuse him. One night, one of the men, who was wearily trudging home, told the boy's mother, "Tell the boy we couldn't go on without him. It's a great thing to have a brave heart. He makes us all brave and cheerful too." Now, my dear friends, we see a similar brave cheerfulness in today's gospel, a brave cheerfulness on the part of our Lord. When the gospel opens, Christ is in the city of Ephraim. He calls together the apostles and tells them it is time to go to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, die, and rise again. Our Lord forewarns the apostles about his passion. He describes to them exactly what was going to happen. He will be given to the Romans. He will be mocked. He will be scourged. He will be spit upon. He will be put to death. Clearly, our divine Savior knows exactly what will happen in Jerusalem. He knows precisely how much he will have to suffer. But he goes there anyway. He leaves Ephraim and sets out for his passion. And along the way, he heals a blind man who has faith in our Lord's power and in his mercy. Our Lord was moved to heal the man because, as St. Matthew tells us, he had compassion on him. Thus, our Lord heals the blind man for the very same reason he was going to Jerusalem, out of love for us. Our Savior went to Jerusalem knowing that he would suffer terrible pain there. Yet he still went because he loves each one of us. This love, of course, is the virtue of charity. And charity, my dear friends, is the virtue which enables us to love God for his own sake and our neighbors, that is, all others, for the love of God. Love for another is best shown by willingly suffering for him. This is what our Lord meant when he said, "Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Of course, everyone wants to be happy and comfortable. And so if one is willing to be tortured and killed, or even just to suffer pain in order to help someone else, he must truly love that person. Consider for a moment a mother and her child. Of course, no one would doubt that the mother loves her child. But how does she show this love? Quite obviously, the mother's love is shown in her willingness to do anything for her child, getting up at any hour of the night to care for him, comforting him in his illnesses, and sacrificing her own time and interests to help him. All these things cause the mother pain, inconvenience, and worry. Yet she does them cheerfully and willingly out of love. Now, Holy Mother, the Church gives us this lesson on charity in the Epistle and Gospel today because she wants us to prove our love for God by making generous sacrifices this Lent, just as our Divine Savior proved his love for us by his sacrifice. Our generosity should consist more in the way we make our sacrifices rather than in what we sacrifice. The crippled boy in the story didn't do anything spectacular. He simply smiled and waved to his mother. Yet that one tiny act made a great difference, not only in her life, but also in the lives of everyone else in his neighborhood. Our little acts of kindness do the same thing. By holding a door for someone, by picking up a dropped pen, by offering to help, or simply by smiling when it's difficult, we can brighten another's day and even comfort God in the midst of his sufferings. These small acts of charity certainly sound easy right now, but sometimes they can be difficult, especially when we're not feeling well, when we're in pain, or when we're busy or preoccupied with something else. There may be days that a certain person seems to be unworthy of a kindness because of something he did. Or there may be a time that it's just too hard or too inconvenient to be charitable. For example, if you were running late for an important appointment, it would certainly feel inconvenient to give up that convenient parking spot for another car. But such times are the test of true charity. You may feel frustrated with others. That's normal. But you must not give in to that feeling. Consider for a moment whether you would be happy if people always acted toward you how they felt. And then, thinking of this, act against that feeling and do the act of charity. This is one thing that everyone can do for Lent. Everyone can do a small kindness for someone else every day. There are literally hundreds of opportunities to be kind and cheerful each day. So seize those moments and do a small act of charity for someone else each day this Lent. Focus especially on cheerfully doing these acts for someone with whom you're upset or who has offended you. Just as the boy in the story cheered up his entire neighborhood, so can your small acts of charity make a great difference in people's lives and even brighten your own day. And even if your kindness seems to be overlooked or is forgotten by others, God will record it, and he will bless you for it, because by it you will prove that you love him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.